When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Bingetown TV. My name is Jim, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Luke and Kyle. And today, we continue our coverage of Apple TV Plus's newest show, Dark Matter. Today we are covering episode 2, titled Trip of a Lifetime. We want to give a huge shout out to Apple TV for sending us screeners for this show so we could cover episodes 1 and 2 separately and get them out to you guys as soon as possible. Also, some quick Bingetown TV housekeeping before we get started. If you are new to our podcast and are listening from our Dark Matter feed and are not familiar with our podcast coverage, then we just want to welcome you to our show and introduce ourselves. We are the Bingetown TV podcast and we cover binge-worthy TV shows. We've been a podcast for over 4 years and have covered over 100 different TV shows. We recently covered Shogun, and we're going to be very busy in June because we will be covering The Boys, House of the Dragon, and The Bear. So what I'm trying to say is that we cover a lot of TV, and we want you all to come for the ride. All you have to do is search Bingetown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps or check us out at BingetownTV.com. All right, Dark Matter, episode 2, titled Trip of a Lifetime. And my goodness, guys, that ending. Got me.
That was why you texted us the thing you texted us, right, Kyle?
Yeah.
I felt like it didn't feel real that it was happening, but at the same time, I was like, this is going to be the moment where the show decides to go completely off the rails and it's anybody's fair game, or they're going to kind of follow the tropey version of TV where, of course, she's not going to die right there because she's so useful in his plot, in his storyline over in the evil universe. But man, it got me. Like, I kind of expected something crazy and it still freaking got me, especially because of how much I was loving evil Daniela. Like, can we even say that anymore?
I don't think we can do that. Not evil Daniela. Our boy's still evil, though. Evil Jay is still evil in my eyes, but Daniela, we can't do it.
Daniela too? Does that work? I don't know. We're still working out the kinks. But yeah, there's so much to talk about. I made the complaint on last podcast that the trailer felt like it gave so much away. I felt like we instantly got away from what I was expecting for both expectations, just plot guessing, like anything. Like I felt like we were in New Orders for episode 2 compared to episode 1. So it felt a little bit more entertaining from my point of view, where I can now start being surprised by things. And it delivered, man. This is as good as I've felt about a sci-fi show through 2 episodes, where I want to hit play like right away. I feel like the acting's there, the writing's there, the mystery's there. They didn't linger too much on the idea of OG Jason keeping all the information about his dimension to himself, like a lesser show might have done, where they could have milked that into like an episode 6 reveal where he finally starts telling people around him what he's thinking. I loved that scene so much when he has the conversation with Daniela and Ryan. And while it didn't necessarily have the best results for either of them, I guess Ryan just was like, fuck off, dude. And Daniela dies. So like, it didn't have the best results, but it was very, very good TV. And it was probably my favorite moment from episode 2. And then there's just not a lot to break down from OG universe with Evil Jay because it was only sporadic scenes, but it's still interesting that they keep snapping us back. And I love the snap, man. I think it's so cool. It just like, it like kind of like makes your adrenaline go a little bit because it's just like such a harsh transition. So far so good, man. Like, I have almost no complaints. There is one thing that I'll bring up, and I'm going to save that complaint for now to see if anybody else
feels I have something as well, so maybe we'll be on singular minds here, Luke.
We usually are.
Kyle, go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say, I think like we're both like No, I really liked it, man. I was very close to hitting episode 3, and then I was like, that can't do that. Cannot do that because we need to podcast with episode 2. So it's just fantastic. I really, really love how they're pacing the show to kind of build off of Luke's point. Like, I just thought when we actually got him being Jason sitting down and like actually being able to have a second to think, he like immediately realizes like, okay, this is what happened, which is exactly what happened. And it's like, okay, thank you. Like, this man has a PhD. He's a postdoctorate fellow at Harvard and Princeton or whatever it may be. Like, thank you for, like, not making him dumb, I guess you could say.
An idiot, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just, like, very nice to see, if I'm honest.
Yeah, if he didn't understand it and if he didn't figure it out right away, then it would be a major cop-out for the story that they just want to tell a certain type of story, and it would have been a way worse story. He is himself. He is within his own mind. He is smart as hell, and he knows what, at one point, he was working on, and to see his own notes and go, oh, shit, he actually did it. It's almost what we were hoping that Amanda was going to do, but he did it himself. Because Amanda, Luke, we talked about it. You were hoping she was going to figure it out, and she really hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, but that's going to be, it seems like Leighton and Amanda in the Evil Universe are going to be a bigger focal point, obviously, because now we also, I don't know what the name of the third person was that comes in and shoots Daniela, but their storyline is going to be front and center right in the beginning of three. So I still feel like the door is open for them to be realistic and it not be dumb writing that they can figure it out next episode, because they didn't really get highlighted too much besides them chasing Jason.
Right, right.
So if you didn't listen to our episode one episode, two things. One, you might be a little confused with the terminology. I know we got into a little bit of Evil J and OG things. So I think we're still going to stick with Evil J is the Jason that came from the other universe, other dimension type deal. So we're going to start with his storyline. That's the second part of why I mentioned our episode one coverage, because we're going to cover these storylines individually. We're going to cover them kind of buckets of scenes. We don't want to just be endlessly talking about every scene in order like that. So Evil J storyline, I titled these first groups of scenes just like the first morning. So it's like the combination of him waking up, he's in the kitchen, and when he goes to his first class, but just a random class within the semester. There's a lot of, I think, good parts here. They could dropped a lot of, I don't want to say breadcrumbs, because we know that he's not from this universe, but a lot of little things that he wasn't getting that someone who is from the universe would get. Type of deal.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I noticed that when he wakes up, now I don't know how much it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things, but when our Jason wakes up in the beginning of the pilot of episode one, he gets up and he kind of like puts his hand on her shoulder and then walks away. No kiss for his girl. And this Jason, Evil J, if that's what we're going to continue with, which is totally fine with me, it's the guy that is here for a reason. He made his choice to switch universes because he loves Daniela, and that is what his motivation is, and he is going to be showing us that. And he wakes up, looks at her, kisses her, and then goes about his day, can't find the coffee. And then when he goes down on the banister, the piece in this world is a little shaky, and they do highlight it in Evil World, Other World, that it's not. It's fine, because our Jason goes up the stairs in a later scene and he grabs it and it's fine. So just some more like mimics and reflections between the two worlds.
And I don't have anything to add. I just remember part of our episode one conversation was about the idea that you can't just stalk this man for 14 months and then just copy his schedule and have his whole life down. So I like these little tiny moments that are actually important. Like, where do we keep the coffee? Like, that's cool. That's good writing, because it needs to happen like that. Like, nothing is one-to-one, so it can't just be as simple as it is. So he's doing his best, though. Like, he's trying not to give too much information, but at the same time, in the next scene, I'm just going to take us there, he gives that conflicting Brooke advice, which should be Brooke, if you're not really, like, the girl that his son, that OG Jason's son, Charlie, has a crush on. And if you remember in episode one, they had this conversation already, and he's giving conflicting opposite advice here. So maybe that's going to be a yellow flag in Charlie's mind. Daniela shouldn't know about that, but she is clocking the idea that he's being more aggressive and ambitious about this relationship. Play it cool, but like, don't give her too much, like a little bit more fuckboy-y than probably her normal Jason would have given that type of advice of.
Right.
So she's starting to get some things, but she hasn't shown it yet. And I'm happy they're not sprinting to that, but that probably feels like that that storyline of original Daniela will start escalating like super quick. I'm thinking maybe like that's going to be a center of next episode, because this was a big OG Jason episode. We probably need to focus on the OG universe for a little bit. So that'll be a good opportunity for the showrunners to make Daniela start putting all the clues together.
Yeah. And to your point, he can stalk as much as he wants, but he'll never know the specific conversations, and he's never been in the house. As far as we know,
right.
This freaking evil stalker guy, he might have been in the house. But, you know, as far as we know, he's never been in the house. He's never had these conversations. So those are his flaws. And I'm glad, like you said, that they're showing them. And that's where shit's going to start hitting the fan. And I'm excited to see, because like I was saying in episode one, I was half expecting a little Family Guy reference for you again, since we talked about Family Guy last episode. I was half expecting her to think he was kissing differently, but I think we're just going to notice is that she's realizing he's being way more lovey-dovey and aggressive in that way, which that's going to mean something. And I just wanted to bring something up to you guys now so that it's out there to start the episode and we can talk about as far as we need to while we get through this episode. And my two questions are, do you get any vibes that, and this is more of like the tinfoil hat, this Daniela, OG Daniela, may be having an affair with somebody else?
Ooh, I don't necessarily. Yeah, I don't know if I was getting those vibes, but I think that would be in line, like with like kind of the things that they're showing us about their relationship. Like, for example, here in this scene when she's talking about that art exhibition and he says like, oh, like I can come with you, like we can make a weekend of it. And she's like so pleasantly surprised.
Right.
That he is like taking this interest in sharing that with her, you know, like something that seems like Jason wasn't doing for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also interesting to think like when we get to Jason's storyline with evil Daniela, even though we know she's not evil, he has this view of their relationship and the way he talks about it is clearly not the way that OG Daniela would talk about their relationship. Like we talked about that last episode as well. So I think they're going to explore that more. And I think an affair would kind of make sense, but I also feel like she is training for this Iron Man. Cause I think she wants that level of like something in her life.
Yeah. And a lighter version of that would be me saying he is getting complacent maybe in the relationship, and she's just very happy that he's finally showing her affection again, almost like Crazy Stupid Love, if you want to go weird and talk about some things like that with Steve Carell, where the whole point is that she starts cheating because he's basically boring and complacent in the relationship. It would be very interesting to have a scenario where he comes into this world and he's showing her love because he's been obsessed with her and he loves her this whole time. But OG Jason has been complacent and doesn't even realize that he's not actually showing her the love she wants. So and I'm not sure if it needs to go as far as affair.
I like you guys presented both sides, and I was pretty much didn't even have a thought about it until right now. But I definitely am leaning towards the former. Sorry. No, I'm actually the opinion that I think is correct. I think it's definitely because of the scene that Kyle specifically brought up about how she wasn't trying to deflect the idea of him going away with her that weekend. Like if she was going to use the art as a front to cheat, it doesn't really make sense anymore to me after just bringing that back up. So I think it's probably the second option where you're right. It's more about the complacency of original Jason.
Yeah. It's so weird though, where he is evil. Jay is so aggressively like physically in love with her. Mm-hmm. And then like, he has this quote that says relationships are a negotiation. And she kind of looks at him and is like, what? Like that's a very cynical view of love. So I think, you know, Luke, the fuckboy title is very like contemporary that fits, but yeah, it just feels like I mean, and we know for a fact, this man has no idea what it's like to be in a long-term committed relationship. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what sacrifice means. Like he said, it's a negotiation, not like it's like a bunch of compromise type of deal. So I don't know. That's just like, I can't wait to see how that continues to develop, where she is continuously getting these, let's call them orange flags. I mean, they're red flags to us because we know that he's insane and not from this universe, but that's not even within the realm of possibility of what she could think. So I'm just so interested to see where the turning point is, where she starts to maybe like follow him and things like that.
Yeah, that's a good call. Let's talk about his other scene, which is pretty much after she leaves to go training, because this is the scene that pissed me off because of how much I like Ryan. I will say that I also like evil Ryan. Evil Ryan seems pretty cool too, but he's just cool in a different way. But he was so mean to Ryan, and Ryan was so nice on the phone. That's going to be like a huge conflict. Obviously that's going to have to come to a head at some point. Cause right now, I mean, he shut down the job offer. They could technically be done with that whole storyline. How else is it going to come back into play? Except maybe Daniela, when she figures things out, will loop in that Ryan. And that's how I want it to happen. And remind me, because now I just watched the second episode, that Ryan, like OG Ryan, has no facial hair, right? Like that's their difference. Yeah, no. Like,
okay. And I think, okay, is he, did they make him heavier in?
Yeah.
Other, yeah. So. Okay. I don't want to, like talking about that stuff, but they did it on purpose. So I obviously, I was going to say the same thing, Luke. The Ryan thing really upset me. And I get it from Evil J's side of things. He's specifically being like, nothing is going to take me away from Daniela this time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you right now, I am not taking this job. I am with my family. Okay, dude, I get it. But don't be a dick to Ryan. And I don't know. Go eat a bag of dicks, Evil J. Like, I don't know what his relationship as Evil J and Nat Ryan really is in Evil World, Other World. But this Ryan, we know, like, adores Jason. And and you can tell by his responses that it, like, hurt him. And he's like, dude, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I overstepped. Like, I was feeling for Ryan, and I really hope that it'll get figured out, because I have a feeling that, like you said, Luke, Daniela's going to think that something's going on and she's going to bring Ryan in. And this can't be figured out from a scientific side in OG World unless Ryan's involved or whoever else needs to be on that end, because Daniela obviously doesn't have a scientific background.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my mind, the two of them, like, team up, Ryan and Daniela from the OG World. And it just, the line, like, oh, so you're calling my wife now, like, feels out of, like, it feels like OG Ryan could just call OG Daniela and talk.
Because it seems like Jason would have no problem. The tripod, man. Yeah. They're the homies. They should all be able to talk whenever they want. And even so, in the other world, the three of them just went back to her apartment, whatever house it is, and sat on the couch and talked like it was no big deal. So, yeah, that was a weird. And again, it's one of those things where he's being, like, aggressive. He's being, like, she's his possession almost. Like, this is my wife. Don't call my wife. He's not used to saying he has a wife. He's finally getting what he wants, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And don't mess with that. Don't call her. Evil J, man. Evil.
Yeah. I like that Ryan is kind of nice in both universes.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like a good guy in both.
Nice might be correct, but the dynamic between Jason and Ryan in each of their respective universes is going to play such a key part, which is going to be interesting, because in my head right now, it's essentially that they have the reversed roles in the Evil World, where we already found out in episode one that our OG Jason gave notes to Ryan to make his money, where he's going to get this $300 million company, start whatever, all that's happening. Where he says in this episode, the evil Ryan, evil universe's Ryan, says, like, you wouldn't have been able to do anything without my compounds that I gave, you know? So it's going to be an interesting parallel and, like, mirror reversal of how that plays out, because maybe evil Ryan's, like, evil Ryan is going to be very, very suspicious of the fact that Daniela's dead and they were just in that house together, and this essentially mentally ill person from an outwards appearance just walked in, says all this crazy shit, and she's dead the next day, and he's on the run and missing. So that other Ryan is going to be, like, the biggest antagonist, I think, of the series, besides, I guess, Velocity is the name of the evil company. So it's going to be Velocity, and then potentially that other Ryan's going to be, like, a wild card. Maybe they're not together, which will be a more fun dynamic if there's two opposing sides, until our Jason convinces Ryan what the truth is, and that's going to be an uphill battle, because he clearly does not have a good relationship with them right now. But I am jumping ahead, because that's a lot of the other bucket's storyline. So I know we have one more scene we want to get through for Evil J, right? Just like the montage of the storage unit that he goes in, and then you see him see the box towards the end. What did I miss on why he even did that? Because did he set up the camera just so he could monitor the box?
I think it was like a motion sensing camera is how I took it.
Yeah, so it's like a Ring camera saying nobody go near my box. That's what I'm guessing. But my question is, I mean, we're going to have to get more information. We don't really have enough at all, but does the box transport itself while it transports you? Like, how does the box exist in this world unless it transports with the person?
Yeah, that's like, if they want to use it in Evil World, do they have to call it back?
Right, because, you know, that's one of those things where you would think it's like a door you step through and you, like, teleport and you show up. But the fact that the box exists physically in OG World is a question that I thought you were going to call out too, Luke, because it's one of those, like, is it a loophole? I'm sure they're going to give us an answer. It's episode two. I'm sure there's going to be a reason, but
feel like the answer has to be it exists in all realities. But, like, that's the idea of the superposition.
But my thing is, did he create it? Like, because our Jason said I was working on it and it was a small box for a particle, so he would have never gotten there in this world yet.
But is there not just the possibility that after
in
evil
the last
Jason
14 months,
like, he successfully created the box in the evil world, sent himself over, and now he recreated it in this world because he's the one that can do it? So that's also a possibility.
Yeah, I guess, because he's been gone for 14 months, he can recreate it, I guess, in that 14 months.
Yeah.
He had a lot of equipment too. They showed us like a ton of, like I was saying, like batteries and like tablets and things. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's tough. Kind of wrote it there though, like a vehicle, and now it's there.
But okay, so now I'm thinking about it, where how they implied in the last episode, Velocity said that they sent all these people over. Does that mean they went together in that same box? Are they building all these extra boxes? That's another question we got to think about. If it's like a one time go, or
maybe,
you know.
I mean, maybe Evil Jay killed them all.
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested about all these extra people, but let's bark up and down and all over this pre. For anyone who hasn't listened to episode one, that's my stupid joke for you guys. But again, trailer talk from, I'm not watching any trailers for any further episodes, but the OG trailer, the evil trailer, showed that they can like go into the box, and it's almost like they're looking indoors. Like, here's like a world, and here's a world, and here's a world, and we don't know which one to pick. It's Amanda explaining it to our Jason, I guess. That's why I was guessing that she was going to become a homie at some point later. But it's like her explaining
Tesseract kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like literally as big as what we've seen, and they walk inside like it's a building, and he's like looking around saying, "Where's my home?" And she says, "It's almost, I don't know how Evil Jay picked it. It's impossible. It's infinite," just like they explain in this episode, infinite options. So I was assuming that like you walk in the door and you go boop and you show up in the world. So I'm wondering why a box exists. But I mean, I guess he could have rebuilt it if he decides he needed to send Jason back, and that's how he did it.
That's exactly my leading thought now, especially after you say that extra trailer piece of information there. It makes more sense that way. So then if that is the case, that means that they still have the box that can send people across, and they didn't need to send all the people that went missing at the same time. So that's still going to exist. So when we see next episode and Jason wakes up at the company, they're going to be talking to him about the specifics. I'm sure they might even, that might be the episode we get to actually see inside and stuff. So
right.
A lot of interesting points.
I'm against that. I'm not on that team. I'm on team the box like came there because he took it there type of deal. Okay. Because I feel like even the first scene too, he kind of like almost like walks out of the box when he like, I think the first scene of the show is him traveling to OG world for the first time. And he just like walks out of the box and it's like, okay, I'm in this universe
okay,
now.
So that,
and I think it's just the theme, like the idea, the scientific idea of superposition. The box is both in OG world and evil world at the same time, just as the Jasons are in each other's worlds at the same time.
Okay. All right. Cool.
We'll freaking
That's
see.
My take.
We'll see. Yeah.
That's
that
my
shit
take.
On the board.
I'm going to win the Pavia. Okay. So the few things I just wanted to mention overall with this storyline, I thought he would make a good professor, Evil Jay. I thought he did a good job being a professor in that class. Like, if I had a professor that gave that talk to me, I feel like I would definitely pay attention more in class.
I wrestled with the idea of starting this podcast by calling him Cool Jay, because he did have a lot of good moments where I was like, this guy would be chill to hang out with. But then you got to remember he's also evil. Like, he is evil. Yeah. And the Ryan phone call made me backspace those little write-up. So
yeah,
he's got a good view of how to be a professor, because he's coming from a completely different perspective.
The one thing that helped him was the stalking, so he knew what lecture room to go into.
Yeah, Cool Jay.
Cool Jay stalking, baby.
Cheating and stalking. Yeah, that's his thing.
But it's funny, like, can you imagine? And I guess in college, you know, you don't really care that much. I mean, depending on the type of student you are, but can you imagine being on your like cell phone or your switch or whatever you were, like that person was, and he walks up behind, he's like, yo, what are they talking about? What was the question? And it's your professor. I'd be like, oh shit. Oh, my bad. But I mean, I didn't know how evil/cool he was going to go. Like, I was like, he rips the laptop and the headphones out of the guy's ear. I thought he was going to be like smashing it or something and be like, pay attention in my class. Like, I thought it was going to turn into one of those things where it's like, yes, I want to be in this world with Daniela, but at the same time, this teaching is beneath me because of who I am in the other world. And I thought he was going to take it like, this sucks, this part of my life, but I'm doing it for Daniela. So he was going to be more of a dick. But honestly, I agree with you. Like, I thought that the talk was good. Like, it was a straight shooter kind of talk that he gave to his students. Yes, he'll have some fun with the teaching. I don't know how much we're going to see of it in the future.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea to think of. Will this new life he has to leave, how will it impact him? You know, will teaching bore him so much? Will it soften his edges? Will being a family guy, you know, soften these edges of him? I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time to do all this stuff.
Maybe, optimistic.
Yeah, like maybe it'll just, things will, he'll just get increasingly more and more paranoid, I mean, as he knows Daniela is getting more and more suspicious. The toothbrush thing was wild to me because I was like, bro, just wait for her. Let her brush her teeth first, man. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm not into that. I'm not one of those people in a relationship that'll play that game. So
I agree. Grosses me out a little bit.
She just takes it. He gives her a little toothpaste. Yeah. And then just gets
she's
out.
Like, oh, okay, whatever. Another.
I really want her
thing.
To bring that up later where she's like talking to him about how he's been weird. And he's like, and you're fucking using my toothbrush. That's like, you it, don't forget well, that.
And he could have played it off so much better than just being quiet and giving it to her. I could have been like, dude, I was in a rush. I just grabbed the wrong toothbrush, my bad. And then like, oh, sorry, it's disgusting. Or maybe it's not disgusting in the relationship. I don't know. But, you know, he could have played it off a little bit better. But my thing would be, I think that it would be interesting if he gets into this world, and to your point, Kyle, again, do we have time? No idea. But he gets into this world and he starts to decide his original decision is the decision that his version of Jason actually wanted. It like cements it. He's like, this is a boring life. Yes, I love Daniela, but it's not the life I want because I'm ambitious. Now, maybe what he created with this cube in Velocity is as ambitious as he ever needed to get, so he doesn't care anymore. But it would be kind of interesting to see that he's in this world and he's like, all right, freaking professor, teaching my son how to drive. All right, my wife's going to go training. All right, you know,
so
we'll
then
go on a trip together.
OG Jason starts to love his life too, and then he becomes the evil Jason, and then he doesn't want to go back. Like, that could be fun.
Yeah, but to me, it seems like maybe it cements evil Jay, but RJ, based off this episode, and again, we got six more episodes, but it just seems like it's really cementing the fact that he is just trying to get home.
Yeah, like it's seven more episodes, those, by the way, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's nine. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
it's an adventure story of him getting home, more so than like a character piece, and they can go both routes. But
now that we're talking about it, this feels like. I know it came out before Dark came out, but this show feels like someone who got finished with season three of Dark, smoked a ton of weed, and then watched like Wife Swap and was like, these two could work together. Like, there's something here.
They're on to something.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. I was thinking that's the same hilarious. Thing. I'm like, well, how is Jason going to, you know, look at his own relationship now that he's with a different version of his wife?
And
now that Evil Jay has this life, like, will it soften his edges? Like, will they learn things? And I don't think it's going to be a happy ending. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Jason, our original Jason, the nice guy, the wife guy, the family guy. And these first groups of scenes are just these first group of scenes. Yeah, those are words. It's just kind of him on the run. So we get him in the bar. We get him. He checks himself into the hospital. And then I think everything until like before like the art show. So there's a lot of things happen. We run into the bartender. Maddie doesn't recognize him. He learns the results of the CT scan. We have Leighton and Amanda having the conversation, that type of stuff.
Yeah, so I can bring up something first here. All the beginning, just pretty cookie cutter, kind of what I expected. The direct aftermath of last episode, still on the run. Cool bar scene, just of Matt laughing, whatever. I like in the ER room, or, you know, the hospital, when he gets the CAT scan and he's getting this report back, he's good. Like, he has no tumors. There's nothing there that would be messing with his like frontal cortex, that would be messing his consciousness up. He has no issues with memories. So like in his own head, he's probably starting to question his entire reality because there's no way to externally just affirm his beliefs. Like, he could be psycho. Like, this is, if you were truly crazy and made up that reality, like, this is also what it would look like. you know, so yeah. It's like hard to see. So I love that she's going through everything. We got the whole velocity rundown that he has no radiation, nothing like that. And now we're finding out about his mental state. And the interesting piece that I thought was worth bringing up, because I said something about it last episode, it doesn't seem like that whatever drug he was injected in was just the knockout chloroform, because they said it had something to do with, like, it was like psychoactive compounds, whatever. So there's going to be something to do with that. And I'm still, now I want to jump back onto the dark matter is what you have to be injected with in order to be able to travel through the box to a different dimension. That also could be the dumbest theory of all time. And I'm just saying loud.
That lines up with Ryan giving him those compounds, evil Ryan saying, like, I made those compounds for you, because we were asking last episode, or I asked at least, like, where does Ryan fit into the, he's like a neuroscientist and his research is on like the consciousness and like the prefrontal cortex. So I could see how created maybe this drug or substance that lets you like phase in or something, or be able to withstand maybe the travel through the box, things like that.
I made my favorite bet. Thank you. See, I was testing you to see if you could. I was straw manning my own self.
Hey,
right there.
Baby, don't let me get out the evil Kyle glasses.
Evil Kai.
I'll get the evil Kyle glasses.
I thought you were gonna wear those for the evil buckets.
I worked better for that joke right there. All right. Again, this is just like when I was saying last episode of how many notes I was writing down, like a village tap sign, but it's green, clocked. Yes. Didn't get that past me. Yeah. But the bartender had the Illuminati tattoo for what I could see. So
yes,
that was a red herring. They got me on that one. But yeah, I'm just trying to anything else. Oh, the one thing I want to bring up with these scenes is the later ones with Leighton and Amanda and the security guard who we don't really have a name or anything for yet, but he just mentions, Leighton has a quote that says he could be out there spilling all of our secrets, which we've gotten this vibe that Velocity is more than what it
Severance
seems
vibe.
To be. Yeah, type of deal. Lumen. So that's good. That's going to be interesting as well. Because Evil Jay is capable of doing things that seem like he has questionable morals. So that seems like an easy transitive, like he's doing that in his company as well type of deal. So we'll see.
And the cool thing about that whole talk that you're having, Kyle, is Evil Jay is Jason. So,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
How compromised could our Jason get at any point? And that's like the weird, deep conversation you can have. Like, even though they are in different universes, they're technically the same person. Is it really just a choice you make that turns you into a guy that is willing to become Evil Jay, have guns, and take someone's life over and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like, is OG Jason, is Jason capable of this when pushed to a point? Like, is that just a baked-in part of his DNA? That's interesting.
Yes, yes.
I can see.
And this is a thought that I just had, too, while I was keeping, like, the snaps just kept going, right? Like, throughout this episode, as we're getting all these flashes between the different universes, what if the snaps are more symbolic than just being a message to the audience that we're transitioning universes? What if every time we're seeing a snap, it's like a different decision that's branching off different things, right? Like, in every time we're seeing a new version of this, it's going to make for a mic drop moment when we do get the reveal that it's not just two universes, it's a million. Every time a decision's made, it branches off. So I was just thinking that'd be a cool meta way of them talking to us past it just being a sound that will love it by itself, though. I forever love that.
If we get to like episode 7 and we run into like 19 more Jasons that were abducted trying to get back, but it's, you know, there have been 18 big decisions that have been made over the past 7 episodes that then have created all of them, that'd be wild.
That is crazy. So are you saying, Luke, that there's a possibility that we could be watching more than two Jasons right now?
So it could go either way, where that would be insane, because that's definitely a possibility. But I was really kind of just leaning into the idea that just each decision is going to be keep branching out infinitely. But that's a Yeah, that could definitely be a thing.
I mean, you're watching and you're seeing their injuries, but Evil Jay technically looks normal because we're not seeing his arm injury. But if you really want to get into Infinite and we're going off of branches, well, there could be 50 million versions of the same Jason with the facial injuries and the arm injury. So it would be tough to explain that and show that to us so that we're not like, Jesus, because we always get into those things where don't explain plot holes by just saying, hey, there's infinite versions of Jason. You know, not that I'm saying that they're going to give us plot holes, but if they do it right, it would be freaking mind blowing. But
that would be crazy.
Fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't want to derail us, but we were talking about just like a moment where I caught a snap. So I wanted to bring it up there. And also, I think I mentioned it earlier, but I've been calling that other, the third velocity person, the muscle, just because, you know, they're rolling around with a gun. So until we get a name, like, I don't know.
They do give a name, I think, at one spot. Don't they say so and so went to the hospital? I thought there was like a line where they do say a name, and I didn't write it down because I thought we were going to hear it more. And
yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
but
the
anyway,
muscle, though.
Well, yeah, the muscle's good for now.
Yeah. One thing I will say we should walk away from these scenes mentioning is that Amanda confirmed that she called Ryan and left a message for him.
Yes.
So that's just a thing.
Okay.
So she called Ryan, and we know the Ryan she called, and he's just not answering.
Yeah. It also seems like it's maybe a weird thing for anyone from Velocity to interact with him. So it seems like he probably would just be bricking a lot of Velocity type calls. So that will be, if we have to explore that relationship with Amanda and him type of deal, and him and Velocity, like Luke mentioned earlier, this seems like it'll play a role. Who can say?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hate to do all the gray matter thing again, like I was doing all last episode, but you know, if it's a scenario where he believes that he is a big part of Velocity's success and he's not getting any kind of flowers for it, he might be saying, go eat a bag of dicks every time they call.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure you microwave them first. All right. So we can move now into, as I was watching this a second time, I'm like, okay, this will be the art show and small gathering bucket, but that's a big bucket. So I don't know if there's really not a ton of talk about at the art show though, honestly. So I think we can talk about the art show and the small gathering, little low key kickback afterwards up until Ryan leaves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here we have the art installation itself, and I don't think we'll really bring up a ton of things that happened there, but we have him meeting Daniela for the first time, him and Ryan have that conversation for the first time, and then we learn a lot of things, I would say, at the low-key kickback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This, for me, this was a lot of symbolism going on, you know, like the whole idea about Daniela's art show is there's the three paths, like is the grass greener on the other side? They talk about, like, this is all just, I'm not even going to try and break it down like I caught every piece of it, but it's so obvious that it's just trying to lean into that idea that decisions matter and that there are different realities that could have branched off just how we've been talking. That's what this whole show is going to be about. So I'm not going to be a dead horse. That was still a cool idea about like how you would show a modernized like creative art exhibit. So I'll give her credit for that. That was cool. Didn't take much from it except I just did not expect this Daniela to have the reaction she did when she saw him. Like it was first, it blew my mind that he was like the inspiration for a lot of the art. But when they saw each other, I was thinking that like, there's no way they're just going to talk to each other like normal. Like this is going to be like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in 10 years. You were my muse that set me down on this path. Like I didn't think it was going to be like this. So good on the show for completely surprising me.
When he walks into the bar and there's the three pictures of him on the walls, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm watching this, I'm thinking that, I mean, first of all, give us props because we did guess in episode one that the point, the fork in the road was going to be
true.
Them deciding I'm either going to go with the family life, the Family Guy life, or my ambition. So give us a little flowers for that. But
yeah, Lex Luthor or Peter Griffin.
But half a mark off. We get an A minus because it wasn't necessarily about that conversation and it was more about the specific pregnancy and Charlie. So I think Charlie was like the nexus piece that we maybe could have guessed, but we didn't have any indication of the timeline of when that conversation happened.
Right. So my thoughts were like, as the scene is starting, he's walking in and you know that he is Mr. Co-founder of huge, huge, huge corporation. You know, one of the biggest corporations you can assume, right? So the lady says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't recognize you," which is wild because he's all over the place. But whatever, it doesn't matter. But anyway,
well, it seems
the whole
like
point
he wears glasses a lot in this universe, I will say.
I'm wondering if he wears them because he's got the injuries. But you're saying Evil Jay in?
Well, yeah, I think in the magazine stuff and the articles wearing glasses.
Yes, yes.
So.
So my thoughts were that he actually wasn't going to have that much of a relationship with Daniela presently. It was just going to be that he like funded it for her or something. Like he was going to be very like not a part of it besides the fact that he funded. So seeing his face all over kind of confused me. And then when they saw each other, I thought it was going to just be like you said, Luke, where it's like, "Hey, like, thanks for the money. I really appreciate it. You're my boy." But I mean, we're not like in best terms because of 15 years ago or whatever it was. Like, I thought it was going to be more so like ghost investor, however you want to say it, you know, where yes, they have a relationship, but not really. So when they acted like they were friendly, and we obviously have the kickback where the explanation is given where it actually all came from. And that's very interesting too, which we'll dive into. But
that's my favorite scene.
I mean, just so we cover, I guess, the initial interaction between him and Ryan that happens at the bar after this initial interaction with Daniela, and also first time we see Daniela with the long hair, I was like, "She, hello." Yeah. We just kind of learn here that Evil Jay at this point is understood at least to be under like a load of NDAs, and then here's when we find out that Ryan did a lot of work for him and Velocity in the Dark with the compound type of stuff. And I also, again, to like how much I'm trying to look for the edges here, when she says the Bulls Pistons 1990 conference final, I was like, okay, is it different in this world? Like, is Michael Jordan not the GOAT? I looked it up and that actually happened. So that doesn't seem like Michael Jordan's career is any different in both Eagle and OG world.
He's just the GOAT in every universe.
He's just the GOAT in every universe, it turns out. I guess some people's GOAT.
Some people's GOAT, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so just in this Loki kickback scene, I thought he's quite ambitious hitting this joint before he lays this on them. Because
this guy literally
freaking out.
That's so good.
He's already thinking he lost his mind. And then if you start bugging out in the middle of that.
Because it's also like, it doesn't seem like Jason is a stoner. When's the last time he smoked weed? So he's just putting a lot into this joint, hoping that it doesn't just blow his brains out, essentially. But I just like how he goes hypothetically, too. And they're like, "Oh, hypothetically." And then it just obviously snowballs into him describing this insane scenario that he knows is true. They think he's crazy. And then we get a lot of really good reveals here. I mean, the whole interaction with Evil Jay and Daniela before Evil Jay hops in the box. And then we learn a little bit about him and Daniela's past in terms of the children. And then we get just more insight into Ryan and his relationship in this world, which is obviously not very good.
Yeah. So he starts doing the hypotheticals and then it turned into, "I'm not crazy."
Yeah. That was good. That was great.
That was really good. And their reactions were like, "Oh shit." You know, they were like, "Oh my God, we do have a crazy guy going on." But it's wild because now that we know that Charlie is technically the fork in the road, when he brings up our son, Ryan's like, "Don't be a dick, bro. Come on."
Yeah,
because he obviously is very, he's a very close friend.
Up.
And then when she reveals later that, you know, she didn't want to be a single parent, obviously Ryan's going to know all of that pain as well from her. So him saying that, "Don't be a dick." And then Ryan is really almost taking it like, "Are you messing with me, dude? Like, are you trying to, for some reason, give me shit? Like, I don't understand what's going on here." I loved how he was like, "Oh, I got the Pavia and the other one. Let's go, baby." Wind it up. But it was tough. That conversation was crazy. And
they're showing us here, too, that interaction is essentially what has greased the tracks for Jason and Evil Daniela to have a potentially good relationship. You know, because it feels like if they didn't have that conversation where he admitted, like, "I made this mistake all those years ago," like, their interaction at the art show wouldn't have been, like, it would have been the way you two were expecting it to be, of, like, "Fuck you, like, I haven't seen you in however," like, it, you know, but, like, since they had that interaction, that has then snowballed, butterfly effect almost, into she's much more willing, it seems like, to speak with Jason and understand Jason and that type of stuff, so.
And you'd have to think that maybe she should have been a little bit more shocked, because it was 14 months and Ryan was like, I thought you were dead. I heard you were in an insane asylum. I heard you were drugged up. I heard this. I heard that. And he basically told her, like, I will never see you again. Then he disappears for 14 months and then he just shows up at her art exhibit. You know, you're in a public space. She's not going to be like, like, what are, you know, but still, you know, whatever.
I think that Jennifer Connelly is an amazing actress.
Oh, hell yeah.
She did such a good job of showing, like, you could see and feel the pain when she's recapping their relationship. And to me, I took it as like, I mean, she says, like, you know, I will always love you and like, we're just friends now. But I think like you can kind of glean from that she, it still hurts her.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. So like the fact that there's a Jason that's here, and Evil Jay even said to her it was a mistake. Now he's back and he seems like he's interested in like seeing her and knowing her and things like that. I'm sure it's speaking to some part of her that she's tried to lock away forever. So,
and she's so cool, man. She's the cooler version for sure. Like, I honestly was just deflated after the end when she dies, because I was just attaching so much. It's by design, like, that she's going to contrast the other Daniela so much. Like, it has to be that way, but it's sad because I just really gravitated towards her. I thought she was like a free spirit. Like, she was still ambitious. She got all of her goals and she realized she wanted the same thing that Evil Jay did, where she wanted this life that she kind of missed out on by that Nexus point going the wrong way. So I just had so many thoughts in my head about, like, what if this Daniela meets the other Daniela? Like, how's that going to happen? All of it's just gone. Like, and these scenes are cool. Like, even the Ryans, like, I'm really interested to see, like, I already kind of laid out that I think that this Ryan in the Evil universe could start off as a really bad antagonist for OG Jason, because he is going to start accusing him of being the reason that this Daniela is dead. This, you guys said everything. You brought up all the good quotes. So this was just my favorite scene. I thought at this moment, as I was taking notes, I was like, okay, like, I was already really excited for the show, but they're like landing the first two episodes for me so much that sky is the limit, man. Like, this is just good TV.
Yeah.
And it's ironic that, as far as we know, Evil Jay decides to build this box and steal someone's identity in another universe to get Daniela back, when he probably could have just went to Daniela in this universe and said, hey, I really screwed up. I freaking love you. Can we just like try to like work on this? I mean, this Daniela went back to Jay pretty quick. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's different circumstances and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, she admits she loved him. I feel like he could have just worked a little bit harder in this universe and he would have been okay.
Unless I hate that you brought that up.
It just seems like this version doesn't have that emotional intelligence, or Evil Jay rather, doesn't have that level of emotional intelligence. And honestly, sound off, chat. Is it romantic that he built this box and traveled to a different universe?
Romantic, like, Jay, are we going to call him?
I mean, is he's evil, horny, romantic? I'm sure there's some ladies out there that's their jam, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it speaks, you could say, volumes.
Dude, when it gets revealed to OG Daniela, and he's like, he does his evil antagonist speech when he's like, I did this for you. I built this box for you.
Yeah. She's going to be like, well, okay. I like a little spice. So the last thing I'll say, excuse me, about this scene is that Ryan's exit is a phone call. It seemed quite obvious that something was maybe going on there. Who called Ryan? Is he working with Velocity in any way? I don't know. Who can say? Because, I mean, I'm not sure we know why they came at the end of the episode. Like, how do they know that he's with her?
Right.
Her place type of deal. So
he kept saying a million times Daniela, and he uses the hospital's iPad to search for her maiden name. So maybe they use that. But the other thing, and I don't know if you guys got this at all, but for like maybe, let's say, 3 minutes, 2 minutes at the end of that conversation, when Ryan says, go eat a bag of dicks, and he's rolling out and they're saying bye to each other, when it's Ryan and Daniela and they hug and she says, are you going to do the dishes tomorrow? I thought that they were together in this world.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got that same vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess not. I thought I was also going to see, or the scene where later on when she gives the slippers, I thought she was going to reveal the Ryans, you know, because they were together, or he was going to see a picture of them when he was looking at the pictures on the wall. But obviously, we're not going to go there. So,
yeah,
I don't think so. And my thought for Ryan and his connection to Velocity, I think it creates more issues than it answers things if he is working with them. And it's going to be less fun. But also for the issue part, like when he mentions Ryan's name, Jason, as soon as he wakes up in this universe for the first time, he mentions Ryan's name. And then they're all like, Ryan, like, I don't think they would have had that reaction if he was an inside man that was pulling strings and he was somebody that was behind the window just watching all this happen. That wouldn't have really felt normal to me. And also, again, yeah, like, I don't think he would have just left that room as is, having the information about this being the Jason from a different universe. I think there's too many issues with that, him being on Velocity side. But my question, I guess, is who do we know as characters besides Velocity and the people in that room that even exist that could have called him?
No one. Edwin, Ivan, whoever those people were from the bar, their counterparts. Those are the only other named characters I feel like we have. We're Matt the bartender.
That's my only support in favor of maybe he is working with Velocity, because who else could it be?
And I don't know. If it's someone we know, but it felt like I clocked it. I was like, okay, phone call that got him out of there. He said he got to take care of something. I don't know. I think it'll come back. And because we know Amanda has contacted him and left a message in the past. So it felt like those two things. It was just easy to connect those dots, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see though.
Let's say it that way. All right. Jimmy mentioned the slipper scene. Only thing I'll say is that the rubber band feels like it's more than just a rubber band. This feels like a Chekhov's gun. Like the rubber band will come into play. Like maybe he has to, like, when he's creating the box, he needs one final thing and he uses the rubber band to like get the box to fully work and send them back. So I'm putting that on the board.
I mean, it's a cool concept that he needs to keep the indentation in his finger, on his finger, because it's his only real proof that he's not crazy. You know, it's, he can look down at his hand. Yeah, exactly. He can look down at his hand and realize for now that he did have a wedding ring on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But it's also going to be the last thing he needs to make the box. So that's
he's going
to
MacGyver that box. With
Also that. Yeah. Okay. So these next, I guess we'll call it. So when he's in the house for the first time, I called this the hunt for answers, and then I realized the next scene was also kind of the hunt for answers. So this is the hunt for answers part one, when they're just looking through the house. Okay, so we get the bombshell drop of, like, we actually get the nexus point, and we get the information about the abortion. So that was a big thing here. There's some other little tidbits here we can talk about, but just wherever you guys want to go with this scene.
I don't have a lot, but I do like the line that he says, I have a lifetime of memories of being married to you. Like, that is going to be what's going to really keep him centered. And I guess his
and she was like, I believe you.
Ring.
Yeah. She was like, I believe you. I was like, they're fucking soulmates.
Yeah. I don't have anything else for these two scenes or these couple of scenes.
Yeah. Just reiterating the fact that this whole deal has to be incredibly painful for our girl, because we already talked about it in the scene where they're having the kickback, where he's bringing up the son and this kind of stuff. And in her world, she knows what actually happened. It's like, are you messing with me? Like, why? What kind of prank is this where you're this much of a dick? And then when he's telling her the rest of it in the house, it's just bringing up all this stuff that she thought was buried.
Yeah, when he's like, he's an artist, he's got your eye for it, you're so proud of him. Like, oh my, like, there's almost nothing that feels like she wants more than, like, to have had that life, kind of.
Yep.
Or at least to part of her, you know? So that was just, like, devastating. I mean, for me, it would have been when he opened up and he goes, we have a son, he's into anime. I would have been like, oh, he's into anime.
He's just like,
you took him away from me. You bastard, evil Jay.
Would have loved a deep cut there, like, and he's caught up in One Piece, like, it's great.
Yeah, true. What a fucking flop. He comes in another scene rocking like a Mugiwara shirt. That'd be sick.
Oh my god, yeah.
The one call I just have here, because I literally cracked up both times I watched this episode, at the scene when he brings up the waterfall picture and, like, the music, and it's like, oh my god, it's the same picture, but they're in it this time. And then he's walking up the stairs and he turns and looks at her kind of like a pouty kid. He goes, it was the trip of a lifetime. Just, I thought the line delivery was so funny. It was like, kind of, he was like mad at her that she doesn't remember it, even though she has no idea what he's talking about. It was the trip of a lifetime. Okay.
It is wild. It's so wild to be in this scenario until you finally understand, which is the next scene, what's going on. Where, like, am I crazy? He's doing exactly what you're saying, Kyle. It's like, you should remember. We had the trip of a lifetime, man. I remember. Yeah. I'm not crazy.
Yeah. We have freaking tickets.
So the only really comment I have on this next scene, where he's like kind of at her apartment and he's going through all the notes and everything, is when he says my idea / my box. First part, my dude, my Arrakis. But the second part thing, did we know about that? Did he ever talk about the box in the first episode?
Well, I think it was just implying that this Evil Jay finished what he started. Like, okay. there was the concepts of it, and maybe it was all hypothetical, but Evil Jay realized it, like, and brought it to actualization.
Right, right. So we didn't know in the first episode, but we just have to assume that Jason had it in his mind or even started the project, and then, I guess because of his life, stopped, and Evil Jay realized it.
Because it's kind of in the scene after this that we'll get to. Like, he mentions, like, I lost my grant funding. So, like, they said that after he says this. So I was like, okay, I get it kind of now. But when he said it initially, I was thinking, did I miss something? But
no,
just don't think he got the results, didn't lean into that lifestyle. So he gave it up for his family and it just never actualized. So I just think that's it. I don't think it was anything deeper.
And this was really the start where I was like, oh, they're going to bang. When she goes, I'm glad you found your way to me. He goes, I am too. She touches his hand. Then they start talking about how he's creating proof that he was married to her with this rubber band wedding ring. And I just was like, they're totally going to bang.
Mm-hmm. He cheated, dude.
There's no other way around it. We're going to talk about this. This is the Faithful Night. Right. We can move into the next scenes.
Okay.
With starts with a classic, you up. My next note, they're banging.
You up.
They talk about the relationship and everything. And is this cheating?
I had the same exact comment next to my notes, and honestly, who cares? I'm in.
It's just like, I think you could convince a lot of people that it isn't.
Well, all four of them cheated.
Well,
it's so interesting.
OG Danielle doesn't know yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Makes Jason evil. Yeah.
Evil Daniela is not in a relationship.
She's evil, Daniela, because she knows he's married.
And honestly, Evil Jay is in a relationship with Amanda. I take that back.
Yeah, so
it would be funny if the scenarios where, like, the OG Jason were like, he's the good guy. He's the only one that's actually committing infidelity.
So I don't know if it's cheating or not, but we were joking in episode one where I was like, that seems out of character for my boy when I was saying that. And you're like, dude, it's episode one. Yeah. I would have liked if he would have stopped it. It seemed like he was having this whole thing where it's like, my Daniela, I need to get back to her. I love her. I'm married to her. Here's my finger. Here's the wedding ring indentation. And then she goes to kiss him. I think I would have liked if he kind of went like, oh, no, thank you. And just been like,
dude, you look her in the eyes and do that. Are you kidding me?
It's literally his wife. Like, he's looking.
No, I mean, I know.
And here's something I noticed in this scene too. And I didn't really notice it, like, realizing that OG Daniela has the short hair. I feel like in this universe, she really looks like Natasha O'Keefe.
Oh,
I know that's
cool. Very good for her.
I mean, even more ammo for me to cheat. But I think it's probably better to say that Natasha O'Keefe looks like Jennifer Connelly because she's probably way more famous. But either way, I love both of them now. So
She's ripped too. Biceps.
She's working. She's working out. She's training. Training day.
That's true. Legit biceps.
So
the main thing I took from this scene is this idea that will this experience show Jason the limitations, the negatives that are ongoing in his relationship with his Daniela? Because he's saying, like, you know, things like life hit us and, you know, your priorities change and we made a life together. And she asks, am I happy? And he says, yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, like, they're kind of showing us that she's not.
Right.
Or at least part of her isn't. So I'm interested to explore
affair,
that. So, yeah, that's true. You know, I'm interested to explore that concept more. I mean, how will him seeing his wife be murdered in front of him change that, even though it's not his wife? I can't wait for all of the consequences and ramifications of this.
Yeah, and this really brought me back into my thoughts that either is she having an affair or is he complacent in the OG world where he's not giving her enough excitement slash love or whatever, attention, however you want to say it, because she says, oh, so we're boring. And I know she's kind of like joking, but you can tell that this Daniela has a side to her where it doesn't actually sound that great what he's saying to her. You know, so yep. Does that mean that OG Daniela is feeling that? It's just the art exhibit. Grass is the grass greener on the other side? The grass isn't greener on the other side? They're barking up and down that tree, Lukey. Yeah. You know, what are we going to do here? But this whole thing, it's so funny. It could turn into like a ridiculous character piece and tell us a story about certain things, or it can just be like, I need to get home to my wife.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's going to keep coming back to. We go down this huge 5-minute theory, like, but it's probably just about him getting back home. And it's like, no, nothing is going to freaking matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Another line that made me laugh, that maybe wasn't supposed to make me laugh, but like how he's like, you know, he's talking about how marriage is tough and life gets tough. And he goes, you know how it is. And then he goes, well, maybe you don't.
Oh, you were going to say, how's the sex?
Oh, that was good.
Well, dude, when he said that, that's when you know it's about to go down.
Yeah, and also, lie through your teeth, even if it isn't good, bro. Be like, I'm fucking throwing it down over there, baby. You wish. You fucking wish.
Let's take it home. One more scene.
Yeah.
Here.
So the knock on the door. And Jimmy, if you didn't bring us the Gray Matter Breaking Bad Walter White reference, I was going to do it here with the meme of him in the SUV screaming out the window. And that was me the second time I watched this episode, just yelling, don't answer the door. Don't go to the door type of deal. So, yeah, I mean, really not much to say here besides maybe like an analysis of what happens. We know what happened.
This scene pissed me off. My second favorite character died. Just so upsetting.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Right behind OG Ryan.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
that's a good
it's
character.
Funny how it's the same actors playing different characters, technically, even though they're the same people. But Daniela, this version of her was great.
I think that she kind of had to go, as crass as that sounds. It just removes the possibility entirely that he, this character that we think is complacent in his own relationship, in his own universe, could potentially become complacent being in this other universe with this other version of his wife. Yep. And so I hate it. It hurt me. I was like literally almost standing up with my mouth open. Like, what the fuck? But like, I understand. And like the thematic, the plot driving aspect of it feels like necessary almost.
Mm-hmm. Fully agreed.
I hate the muscle, whatever her name is. She's public enemy number one. But this was a scene that for me, like, I am such a sucker for the modern day, like, grimdark nature of TV where you kill characters without warning. You don't use plot armor. Like, I hate plot armor. So like when they do things like this, even though I loved her character, or what I was on a path to really loving her character in all seriousness, it's great TV. Like, this is what gets me going, like, when it comes to these type of shows. So I feel like everybody's on the board or on the table to be killed off except for the two Jasons and probably the OG Daniela. Like, those are the only three people I think that realistically probably won't die. And if they do die, it'll be in the finale.
You think Charlie will die?
Like, anime, he knows how to fight, probably.
Yeah. Oh,
no, he's going to skateboard away.
He could skateboard away if he needs
him. And Brooke?
I think, you're going to use the lessons they've learned, them being Jason and Daniela from the OG universe, and they're going to teach Ryan how to be in a relationship, and then he's going to go on with Brooke, and then they're going to be happy together.
And then there's going to be a fork in the road, and they're like, listen.
Yeah, and then she's going to get pregnant. He's going to knock her up.
You can either be a professional skateboarder and watch anime, or you can have this baby with me, and he's going to start forking in the roads with all these damn boxes, and there's going to be infinite versions of Charlie now. But yeah, I think this was needed. They needed to kill her off, and it makes it so that I hate the comparisons, but like Lumen from Severance and Velocity is going to be more of an evil entity. So we have Evil Jay, and now we have his evil corporation. They're not allowing anything or anybody to get in the way and to find out any of their quote unquote secrets that we were talking about.
So let me ask you a question then, because on that same line of thought, like, Leighton obviously seems like he's going to be evil, like he's the CEO of the company, but doesn't Amanda give sort of moral vibes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree, and I like I said, it looks like in the original trailer that she's helping him, and I don't know if that's, again, I hate trailers, but yeah, I think she's going to be fine. She's going to be on his side helping him. Somebody's got to help him, because if Danielle is gone and we don't know what's going to happen with Ryan, someone has to be on this side of the world helping him.
Yeah.
And Amanda makes sense, even though it's going to be one of those sad things where she's going to not have her or her Ryan, her Jay. That
she's
going to
fall in love with him.
You know that this Amanda loves Evil Jay, and she's going to be very hurt that Evil Jay would rather leave her. And you know what? Evil Jay also did not want to marry her. So
what a way to break up with someone, just leaving the universe
for another woman, cheating.
Just creating this box, spending billions of dollars to travel to a new universe instead of saying, like, I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll
ghosting
find out.
In the craziest way.
We'll find out.
That was a fun episode, though, man. Like, these conversations I can tell are going to be just all timers. Like, this is so fun to theory craft. 99% of this stuff we're saying is going to be out the window 10 minutes into the episode 3, but it's just so fun, man. I'm having a great time.
I'm so glad I didn't read the book.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
So glad. So glad.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to Silo. If I knew the answer to Silo, I don't know how into it I would have been. Like, the mystery part is the biggest part for me. Like, I will watch adaptations, obviously, but especially when it's a mystery side of things, just having it be a blank slate is just the bee's knees. So, and then it's always good to go back to the OG, because the OG source material, you could just say, all right, I appreciated the show. Now I'm going to see what the source material is. But I don't like the reverse usually if it's a mystery kind of thing. So, all right, guys, anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We got some theories on the board. We got some nicknames going that we're hoping are going to stick. We'll see. But if you like what you heard, check us out at BingeTownTV.com. You can also, if you're listening on the Dark Matter feed, like I said in the intro, we are BingeTown TV. We cover a lot of different TV shows. So you can check us out at BingeTownTV.com or search BingeTown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps. We have covered hundreds. I don't even know if we're at hundreds yet, but we're over 100 TV shows. And we have so many big ones coming. We have House of the Dragon, The Bear, The Boys, all within the next month. We are going to be super busy. We want you guys to follow along. So again, BingeTownTV.com. And I think that's it. We'll see you guys next week. Like we said, we have Evil Kai is here, dude. He's here with his glasses. We have the screener, so we will be dropping these episodes ASAP for you all. So we will see you next Wednesday, I guess. So once again, we are BingeTown TV. Thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.